Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 30th of March, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there.
Glad you're here. Also with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. Now, today we have an announcement from Apple that we are getting online only WWDC this year, the Worldwide Developers Conference. Apple did it 100% virtually last year. So this year we finally got the dates, and it's June 7th through June 11th this year. And it's going to be the style to which we have become accustomed, which is Apple's nifty little high production value video presentation to kick things off with the keynote, I imagine. And then beyond that, it's just going to be streamed videos that become available at certain points throughout the week, I think, if memory serves. That's how they did it last year. So, Charlotte, I would like to find out from you how it went for you last year, because last year was the first time that you attended WWDC. So what was it like?
Yeah, so my view on all this might surprise people, given that I live in the UK. Obviously, it's a huge expense and time commitment to, if I wanted to or was able to, attend WWDC in person. That's obviously a huge burden. So in theory, having it as an online only event might, on the surface of it, seem like a good thing for me. And there was lots I did get out of it. I loved diving into some of the sessions. I liked watching the keynotes, which, as you say, in typical Apple fashion, were beautifully produced.
Yes.
It was nice to dig around some of the resources that were up there. All that stuff is really good, and I don't want to knock it. However.
Yes.
Let's deal with the elephant in the room. There was really no choice last year. The COVID situation was such that there was absolutely no way you could have a mass attendance indoor event. Mm-mm. It wasn't really an option in any way.
I think, honestly, the big news last year was that they were doing it at all, whether it was online or not. It was just like there were, at least in some corners of the Apple covering universe, there were questions about, like, are they even going to bother this year? So
I just wanted to get that on the record before I say what I'm about to say, which is this, to me, feels like a very convenient corporate power play from Apple. Now, there may be some people, due to vaccine status or vulnerability, who do not want to go to a big in-person event in June this year, and that is a totally understandable situation. They may have even had to dial down the numbers to allow some distancing and whatever. Again, that would have been totally understandable. What worries me is that we're now in a mindset where WWDC is online only. I mean, you could expect, we're talking about WWDC because that is the news today, but I think you can extend this to all sorts of conferences. And it worries me that we are losing quite a lot, and that it hands a huge amount of power back to an already very powerful company. Mm-hmm. By reporters and developers not being there in person and mingling with Apple executives and Apple staff, we lose a huge amount of what makes in-person events worthwhile. I know this from my time covering politics and attending political conferences. Those mm-hmm. are the places you get best stories, at the bar at 10, 11, 12, 1 at night, 1 in the morning, whatever.
Yes.
So, and Apple is removed. I think it is Apple, because the situation has developed as it is allowing it to take control in this way. And while, as I say, last year there was absolutely no choice, it was absolutely the right thing to do. And you may even argue that it still is the right thing to do for this year. Mm-hmm. What worries me is what happens in 2022 and what we might be losing.
Yeah. And Dave, that's my question to you, is as a person who has attended both, like last year's online only and previous years in person, I'm curious what your take is on this.
I have a lot of opinions here. the first thing that I noticed was that there was no mention of coronavirus or COVID-19 in the announcement, right? It wasn't, we're doing this because COVID. Now, it could be interpreted that that's why they're doing this. It's certainly, to your point, Charlotte, I think, honestly, a June conference, almost of 5,000 people at the conference, knowing that there will be 10 to 15,000 people in the city of San Jose, assuming that's where they would have held it. I think, and knowing that you would have had to have started planning for this, reserving the space and planning the sessions in the right way and all of that, probably in January, like there, I would say that because of coronavirus, it would be impossible and probably quite irresponsible to hold that in-person event this year too.
Yes.
Like the fact that this year's is online only is not a surprise. The fact that we've removed the reason for that from the press release is the part that is a little disturbing, exactly for the reason that you said, Charlotte, and more perhaps, because like, you know, you pointed out Apple gets to control who interacts with Apple, but if they were to keep this online for 2022, they also get to control / eliminate who interacts with each other, because there's 5,000 attendees at the conference. Let's say there's 1,000 Apple employees. It might be 500, it might be 4,000, but let's just eliminate them from the mix. Let's say Apple puts the shackles on, doesn't let them go to the bars, et cetera, right? And so now it's just the 5,000 attendees of the conference plus the additional 5 to 10,000 people that are in town. And San Jose has been the perfect size city, especially the perfect size downtown for this conference, because it allows you to haphazardly run into other conference attendees pretty much no matter where you go. You know, you go to grab breakfast, there's other dub attendees. It's not like San Francisco where, as soon as you left the conference venue, you were immediately diluted by San Francisco. You know, that's not the case with San Jose.
Or where it's like CES, where you just get lost in the sea.
Right.
Yeah, everybody's there for CES, but you'll never see anybody that matters to you because you're diluted by all the various other things, right? Tens or 100,000 people kind of thing certainly changes that. But 5 to 15,000 people, it really works well. And like eliminating that opportunity, Tim Street, who co-founded French Made TV, but don't hold that against him. It was actually a really brilliant idea in general. But he said something, has been a force in the podcasting world for a long time. I ran into him at a bar at a conference that I did not expect to see him at like 10 years ago. And I told him that, and he said, "Hey man, this is," and he, you know, I'm waving my arms like this, "business in general is a full contact sport." And that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
Like we really do need that interaction. It's much easier to build trust when you are sitting and sharing the same air as another human. Can it be done via email or over the phone or over Zoom? Yes, but it's not nearly as common or as quick or as efficient, I guess is a better term, than being in person and truly sharing a moment or sharing a meal or sharing a drink or whatever that might be. Those moments are super important for us as humans, for us as business people. Now, I don't mean to say that we should simply forget all of this and go back to, you know, what 2019 was for every event, not just WWDC, but you know, for everything where it's all in person. There, I love the online keynote, the well-produced program of a keynote that's not, right? It's way better. It's way more efficient, all of that.
And actually, I think we probably get more information in it because they can time it and...
Yeah, they get to manage it,
right?
And they get to craft it. Now, I mean, they're crafting it anyway, so I like that.
Yeah.
But I think there's a hybrid approach here that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope, Apple sort of does their own thing. It it concerns me a little bit that they will stay with online only forever, but CES is back in person and online next year. South by Southwest is back in person and online next year. So like Apple doesn't define this industry, not by a long shot. They've always hated trade shows. They've always hated conferences.
Got out of them or skipped them entirely, like as much as they possibly could, like in an official capacity. Like unofficially, trade shows where like Apple doesn't have a booth doesn't mean that there are not people from Apple who are there.
Oh, of course.
But it means, which is an important distinction. So that's why I'm pointing it out.
Apple is always at like Podcast Movement, for example. In fact, they've had like events at Podcast Movement. So they are there even in an official capacity, right? Like,
right.
And that's okay. But they aren't. They aren't putting on the keynote. They aren't, right. You know,
they don't have a giant booth with a huge Apple logo above it. Like, you know, Macworld, for example. Yeah.
They aren't forced to tie a product launch to someone else's conference schedule when they're doing things like that. And that was the big deal. Of course, they did this to themselves with WWDC. And to be fair, moving online hasn't alleviated that, right? No. Like they're still expected to do their big operating systems launch and all of that stuff at WWDC this year. So I think that will happen, which I think is crazy to have a new operating system every year. But, you know, that's just me being, you know, remembering the good days.
I think you two have really highlighted what bugged me so much when I saw this news. And it definitely wasn't the fact that it was online only last year. In fact, it would have bugged me orders of magnitude more if Apple had held any kind of in-person event last year. And I absolutely agree with what you're saying, Dave, about how the timeline probably just couldn't work for this year. Too many uncertainties, too many risks, so you make a decision. But what it worries me the most that this is now Apple setting what WWDC is and setting it to its advantage. And I think that's for the future. And I think that's what concerns me. That's what really concerns me. And I'm not sure. I mean, hopefully developers will write in and email in and let us know what they think. But I'm not sure if I was a developer who really wanted hands-on time with Apple staffers, I would be that pleased about the idea that this might go on 2022, 23, 24. But as I say, as someone from the UK who couldn't previously attend WWDC in any capacity, a hybrid model would, you know, appeal to me in lots of different ways.
Yeah. But
Apple is a company, how can I put this? Apple is a company not known for relinquishing control, right?
Correct.
Apple is a company that, like, let's use the phrase, it likes to control the whole widget. It, like, you know, that's its modus operandi.
Yes.
Because, as Dave pointed out, there was no mention of COVID or coronavirus. I mean, I did a search through the press release, and if you put those words in, there's nothing there. They do not mention it. So it's no longer feeling that is a need to justify and explain why it's an online only event.
I'll play devil's advocate here. I stand by what I said, that I think some sort of hybrid that includes in person for most conferences is very necessary for us and a very good thing. And not doing that would be a very bad thing. However, for WWDC, this online only version is in many ways the great equalizer, right? They could only host 5,000 people at the conference, whereas now they can host, you know,
bajillions,
tens or hundreds of thousands at the conference. And that has always been an issue, not just for developers, but inside Apple too. Like they want to host everyone, but they, you know, because of literally the limitations of physical space, they cannot.
Right.
So like a lot of this makes sense for more than just coronavirus, for more than just Apple controlling the message. I mean, there are some true benefits of this, and I just didn't want that to go unsaid. I think we all know that.
I think that's a really important point to have as well. And because Apple does keep referring to last year's WWDC as the best attended.
Right.
Sure.
I'm sure that's true.
And it's also worth pointing out, while we are in the spirit of being feathered, it is donating a significant amount. I think it's donating $1 million to SJ Aspires, which is an education equity initiative. That's through its racial equality and justice initiative, because obviously the city of San Jose loses out on money.
Right. Loads.
Because people are not going to WDC. So there's a variety. Yeah. It's putting significant money mm-hmm. into the city of San Jose, as it did yeah. last year, if I recall.
Yeah.
So all that's fine and well. And I think hybrid, that, like Dave is right, hybrid is going to be and should be the answer in lots and lots of instances.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I worry Apple may be able to resist that. And that.
Oh, I think they, I think and they may would want like to.
Right. Yes. And that was the next bit of my sentence. I may want to resist that.
Yeah. Oh, very much.
If I can, let me put this as bluntly as I can, and you can send all your angry mail to Kelly. I think COVID has given Apple a reason or an excuse, delete as you feel appropriate, to do something it may have wanted to do already, for both good reasons, the access points that Dave made, and also bad reasons, the control.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we call that an opportunity, Charlotte.
Sorry, yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
Can I say, while we're speaking of words, can I say one thing?
I very much want to hear it. Yes.
Once in this episode, at the very beginning, Kelly, you used a word that I think we need to remove from this type of conversation.
Did I?
And it's the word, you did. And I'm glad you did. But since
I didn't mean to.
You've replaced it. I get it.
Okay.
That's the reason. Is you use the word virtual to describe Apple's online event. And I think it's really important that we stop using the word virtual to describe a conference or anything that happens remotely or online, mm-hmm. because it is still a very real conference. It is not a virtual conference. Just like our company, which has been remote for 22 years, is not a virtual company. It is a remote company, right?
Hello from the real United Kingdom.
Well, there you go. Right. Yeah, it exactly. You know, we pay real wages, we pay real taxes, we do real business. And so, well, I guess that last bit could be argued. This word virtual means something different, and I think we need to reserve it for that. So I just wanted to preserving the language and preserving the vision of these things. They aren't virtual conferences. They are real conferences. Of course, if the organizers do a bad job, then maybe we would argue it became more of a virtual conference than a real conference. But that should be left up to the interpretation after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Well, and I think I hope that this isn't one of those things where people are going to just decide that the word means the opposite of what it actually means, and we're just going to call it that from now on, because that is sort of frustrating, because it's not true. And part of one of the things that I would like to find out, because I did not get a chance to talk to anybody about this last summer, is this is the developers conference. And one of the things that I hear from developers about what's really important about getting to go to the developers conference is that they get opportunities to have conversations with Apple engineers. Like I do try to talk to a lot of people when I get the opportunity to go to DubDub and hang out and talk to folks, whether I actually have an attendee badge or not. I try to talk to lots and lots of developers, as evidenced by previous iterations of Daily Observations. And one of the things that all of them tell me is the thing that makes the ticket worth it and the trip, and, you know, depending on where they're coming from, the jet lag and all of that, what makes that worthwhile is getting the FaceTime with the engineers and getting to say to somebody, this is the thing that I've been beating my head on for a month and I need to figure out how to make it work, and getting a chance to sit with the person who built that codec or is the person in charge of that framework or whatever, and getting a chance to hash that out with them in person. And I know that they did make available people to talk to last time around when we did this last summer. There were opportunities to make appointments to speak with Apple engineers about the thing that you needed. And I would like to know from somebody, if you are that person, please let us know, observations@macobserver.com, how that stacked up to your in-person meetings at previous Dub event, because that's one of the things that I think, you know, when we talked about the in-person interaction, that's one of the things that stands out to me about all of that. And so I would like to find out how those went last year, and if people were able to get the same access, because I think, like we've talked about, you know, people at Apple maybe saying things to journalists, for example, that maybe they shouldn't say. Maybe there's an opportunity for somebody to tell a person, you know, tell a developer, like this, you know, like something they shouldn't say, like, we're really never going to fix that, so you need to find a way to route around, for example. I don't know. I'm just sort of guessing at something like that. But I'm interested to see how this goes. And I presumed, like, it crossed my mind earlier this year, and I presumed that Dub would be online again this year. But what I'm mostly interested in is what they're going to do in 2022 once it becomes a lot more realistic option to have people come to San Jose and be there in person. So we will have to see on that. I think it's going to make an interesting, it's definitely going to make an interesting week. You will see lots of coverage of what happens at Dub over at MacObserver.com. And thank you both for being here today, Dave and Charlotte. I appreciate you coming by to give me your perspectives on this. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.